All right, if you have your Bible, open up to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Everybody there? All right, looking in Joshua chapter 3, we're going to start off, well, last week we looked at this, we're going to start off in verse 5 today. So Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priest and said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And Joshua, and the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites," all those folk. "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The water shall come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan that the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had completely cross completely over the Jordan. Say, what in the world does that got to do with us? It's got a lot to do with us. You know, this is the beginning of a first Sunday, a new year, and I want to talk to you about new things, because we love and serve a God of new things. You know, if you look through the scripture, Ezekiel spoke of a new covenant. That was the covenant that Christ would introduce after his death, burial, and resurrection. He said he'd give us a new heart. He would give us a new spirit. 2 Corinthians says that we're a new creation. Colossians says that we should walk in the newness of life. It says in Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. Revelation, he's creating a new heaven and a new earth where we'll sing a new song. And then finally in Revelation 21:5, the Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." And so God's all about new. And in that, I want to challenge you that you consider some new things this year. Here in this text, Joshua's leading the people into new territory and giving them new life. You know, that's what a picture of the promised land. God had promised Abraham that his people would inherit this land. God would lead them to it. It was a land not, it's not, it's, you know, I guess you can kind of make it a type of a picture of passing, you know, the believer used. There's a lot of hymns talking about the promised land being heaven, but it's really more of a life of following God through faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You know, there's enemies in this promised land. And so it's a land of victory over battles. It's not a picture of your death. It's a picture of basically dying to ourselves and bearing our cross, following Jesus into a life of abundance and victory, living by faith and going where he carries us. And so this year, I want to challenge you this morning that you follow Jesus into new territories. A lot of people don't like new things in their life, but like I said last week, when you're walking with the Lord, he's going to always, at times and seasons, bring you to a new place. If you're not experiencing the challenge of coming to a new place in your life, you're not growing and you're not being transformed. And so following Jesus, he's going to cause you to trust him and to bring you into new things. You say, like what? Some of you, maybe I challenge you to get involved in a new community or bring new people into your community. Whether that be in our church or whether it's the people that you do things with, to get involved in new ministries, to pursue new opportunities, to lead and love your family in new ways. If you don't pray with your family, start something new this year. Men, and start leading your family in prayer. You know, sit down like the Bible talks about when you sit down at the table to eat, that you speak God's word. I just want to encourage you. That's a good place to grow and to show who God is rather than just in church, in Sunday school, Wednesday nights, that it becomes something that is personal to you and your kids or your grandkids. See that the Lord's not a program or a place, but he's a personal God. He's in your home. He's in your life. And that you sit down and here's an easy way to do it. You know, pick out something like, hey, we're going to go through the book of John. Just tell your kids, we're going to read these verses, or maybe talk about what they're seeing God do in their life. What do you believe God's goals and purposes are in your life? You know, there's a lot of different things we have access to that generates a discussion about the Lord. Do something new. Serve the Lord in a ministry together with your family. But here's what mainly I want you to focus on this morning is that you move from a position of being a spectator. You know, when you look on this side of Jordan, if you were with those people camped on this side of Jordan, on the other side of Jordan was the glory of God. On the other side of Jordan was the life that God promised to give them. On the other side of Jordan was where God was going. That's where he was leading. That's where everything was happening. Now, on this side of the Jordan, you could talk about it, you could pray about it, you could witness some other people who were on the other side of Jordan, but spectators stay on this side and they hear about what's going on in kingdom living. And today in church, we got a lot of spectators who want to hear about what God's doing and they want to listen to other people talk about what's God doing, and they watch and they're emotionally inspired by what they, you know, podcasts and all these things that we listen to. And that's good to listen to those things. Listen to me. Listening to those things and getting all this information doesn't mean that you're living the life that God has for you. You got to shift from being a spectator to engaging into and following Jesus to the place that he wants to carry you. So, and another thing I want to say this, it's not simply coming up with something new. We as God's people should seek to follow the Lord where he wants to carry us. God wants to lead every one of us into different directions in life. Every one of us have areas that need strengthening. We have areas that change. We have areas where he has better for us. We have areas where he wants to involve us and use us and work through us. And so in that, all of us have to come to the place. I can't tell you the place God wants to carry you, but God's Spirit and his word tells you where he wants to lead you, and you follow him into those places that God wants you to go, because God has so much more. And I believe that as we continue to look and see what's going on, I ain't gonna get off in this a whole lot this morning, but as we continue to see what's going on in the world, the more things that I watch and I hear in the news and what's going on in the world, I'm like, we as God's people better wake up, shake up. We need to come to the place to realize that we are here to win souls to Jesus. If you're not excited about that little boy being saved, probably dead already. You understand what I'm saying? We're not here just to work out our life troubles and our issues. We're here to make Jesus known, to bring the gospel to the world. People are facing a judgment and a wrath that's coming upon this place like a whirlwind, and we're the only hope they've got. You understand that? And as long as we're just spectators, nothing's going to change. As long as we continue just to hear and listen and more Bible studies and more podcasts and more information and more knowledge, if you are not putting action to it, it's dead. You understand? Faith without action is dead. And it's time for God's people to go, I'm going to do something new. If you've never witness to somebody about Jesus. I mean, people, I've pushed you, and I'm going to keep pushing and keep encouraging and keep leading you to do what you sing. You're no longer a slave to fear. You know why people don't talk about Jesus? Because you're scared to death. You're worried about your image. You're worried about being rejected. You're worried about what other people think and all things. Like, we have got to come to a place that we die to that, and we die to our image, and we care about people enough to go, I don't care what you think about me. I'm worried about you. And I'm going to step out of this place of listening to the, you know, the pastor and listening to the leaders of the church and listening to these few people that seem to be excited about Jesus. And man, I get excited about it. I like to hear about it. But if you've never shared the gospel with somebody, I'm not talking about inviting people to church. I'm talking about take them to a bloody cross where he died for their sins, was buried and rose again. You know, and they say, well, just people don't take that too well. That doesn't stop most people from talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Right. You know, it offends a lot of people. Sometimes when you bring up different football, I'll share my opinion about the Cowboys. If you get offended, whatever. And I won't share it with you this morning because I want to keep your attention. But you know what I'm saying? We'll talk about good things all day long, but when it comes to the greatest thing, the greatest hope, the only hope, we get quiet, we get timid, we say what you want to, we get fearful, and we let the world tell us you keep it in the church. You just go to church more and more and more, and you keep listening, keep spectating. Maybe one of these days something will happen. Maybe it won't. Maybe a lot of people will die and go to hell because God's people are silent and fearful. And I just go, I want you to do a new thing. Now look at this. I'm going to give you a couple of things. Before you experience the things that God has for you, number one, you will always face impossibilities. Verse 11, look what it says in verse 11. Verse 11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant, the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now I want you to think about, I talked a little bit last week about the Jordan River. How many of you ever been rafting? You ever been in Colorado or anything rafting? Three of us. Okay, I'm going to have to go in a little bit more detail. Rafting in the Trinity. A little bit different, but it's got its concerns. When we went to the Royal Gorge. Man, that's good. We went to the Royal Gorge up in Colorado, and we decided we was going to go rafting. Now, there's different categories of water. You know, you start with a one, which is like floating in the Trinity River. And then you get up to a five, which is like a nightmare, all right? We did a three, and it's like, yeah, there'll be a few places where you kind of, you know, but it'll be all right. And anyhow, but we watched some videos, and we saw some river that was a category five. This is why I didn't go on a category five. There was one place where they had a camera, and you're sitting there watching it, and here would come the raft, and I mean, it was like, and all of a sudden that raft, and it would roll back, and everybody in the boat's fighting for their life, and I'm like, and this is what we call fun. You know, if you've ever seen a river like that, that's what the Jordan was at this time. It was not a calm, floating water. It was a raging category five type river. Like I said last week, you know, wide enough you ain't just gonna walk across it. It was a huge impossibility. And yet God said, I want you not only to walk to it, I want you to walk into it. And as the priests who are carrying, like I said last week, the Ark of the Covenant represents the new covenant. It represents the cross of Jesus where he shed his blood. And because he shed his blood, God shows mercy and his presence is with his people. And so you see, it's a picture of following Christ And as they bear the Ark of the Covenant, if you don't know what that was, look it up. It was a size of a cedar chest, had three things inside of it. I'm not going to go into all this morning, but it represents Jesus and his presence with his people through his death, burial, and resurrection. And they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It would have been four priests. Now, when they set out to go towards that river, it was still raging. It was raging all the way to the point to where they put their foot in. And so you can imagine the demonstration of faith that they were showing in what Joshua spoke to them out of the Word of God. Because here's the thing, obedience, listen to me, obedience is faith in action. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. What the American church wants to do is we want to pray the Jordan, or actually we want to pray the Promised Land over to this side. I want to sit here and pray and go, God, I want that. And God, I, I'm praying that you do everything and you just bring it over here. Bring all the goodness that's on the other side over here, because I don't want to face the impossibilities. And God's like, faith doesn't work that way. I'm going this direction. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to be with you. And if faith follows God into obedience because he's spoken it and I believe it. And if you don't have any action of faith in your life, then you don't have any faith. You understand? If you do not have any action of faith in your life, then you do not have biblical faith. If what you say you believe, I believe Jesus, I believe he's the Son of God, I believe he died on the cross, buried in my place for my sins, rose again, he's the Lord and Savior, I believe that. If it has not produced action in your life, then you only have a mental, intellectual belief, but you do not have biblical faith. Woo, that's quiet. Like, you're going to tell me you can see a dead man living and ain't going to cause something in you that he said he's going to save your soul from hell? Maybe that's why we don't get so excited when people get saved. Like, hey, he got saved. That's a good thing. Like, that little boy got raised from dead to life this morning. If he was in the hospital and they were like, Bear's in the hospital, and we've been praying for him. Oh, no, he. God forbid, but he, what do you call it, flatline. Bear flatline this morning. Jeff calls my grandson. God forbid, I just hate to use this off the cuff. My grandson's dead. Tell the church he's dead. And the church gathering went, God, we refuse to believe this. We believe you're the God alive. Your God of resurrection, raise that boy up. If he called back and went, he just started breathing again, we would be like, woo, hey. But all of a sudden, when he gives his life to Jesus and that exact thing took place inside of him, he was translated from death to life. He passed from death to life last Sunday back here in this room. And we're like, all right. Doesn't that cause y'all to go, I want some of that. I want to see the wonders of God. I don't want the pastor to get all the opportunity. I don't want his wife or just mom and dads. And I know there's a lot of people who sowed into that little boy that work with our kids' ministry and teaching and parents and grandparents. But I'm like, how long can we sit on this side of Jordan and watch everybody else get to see the glory of God and you're okay with it? Y'all with me? You got to face the impossibilities. There's always going to be challenges and difficulties. But here's the reason. Say, why does God lead us in such a way? Look, see what it says in verse 10. It says, and Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you. Watch this. And he will without fail drive out all your enemies. Okay? Understand? That's what he's saying. I'm going to drive out everything that's blocking you, everything that the enemy's doing to try to rob you of what God has for you in life. I'm going to drive them out. And I need you to, this is a pathway of revelation. God leads us into the impossibilities and the difficulties. That's called the trying of our faith. This is the training center. A lot of things we go through in our life is not just a battle against the enemy. It's God leading us into these, what the Bible calls, straight places. The valley of the shadow of death. There are two paths that God leads us in. One is for you. It's the path beside still waters, Psalm 23. It's the restoration and the strengthening of our soul. The other path is the path of leading us in the path of his righteousness for his name's sake. It's the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us into one so that we will be ready for the other. And if you don't get that, you're not ever going to see and follow God into places that he wants to lead you. But here's the thing, I want you to know that he wants you to know that what he leads you to, he will lead you through. The work he began in that little boy last Sunday, the Bible says he will complete it until he stands before the Lord. It's not up for me to do everything. God doesn't need you to do things for the Lord. He wants to do things through you. Does that make sense? So embrace the impossibilities, because that's where you see God. If you're not got any impossibilities in your life, then how do you think you're going to see God? How's anybody going to see God if we're always in the way and we can do what he asks us to do? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not belittled. I appreciate everybody here. Glad you're here. Wish more people were here. But I just go, how much faith and impossibility does it take to come and sit and spectate in church? Is your kids going to go, wow. Wow, Mom, I really saw the Lord today because you were at church. Man, I just saw Jesus because I saw you singing. Now, for some men, you know, your kids would probably freak out if we actually worshiped. Amen? And maybe that's a new thing. Maybe you need to start singing. Let's just take a little baby step. Just kind of grunt some when we're worshiping, man. You know, I'm with you. I understand where you're at. And it's difficult for us blue collars to break out. But you know what? By the grace of God, he can lead us into new things. And our kids need to witness that. Sometimes our wives need to witness it. Amen. Second thing is, this is where you learn to trust him. If you're going to have something new in your life, you got to learn to trust Jesus. Kingdom living always requires faith, obedience, and surrender. Say, why is that? Because the Lord always involves us in things that are greater than ourselves in order that those who watch hear about and see him. If we only as a church, or you only as an individual, or as a family, if all you ever involve yourself in and you do is something that you can control and that you can accomplish, you don't need the Lord. And nobody's going to see the Lord in that. God brings us to places that drives us to our knees in prayer to go, God, if you don't come through in this, it's not going to happen. But when God comes through, people see it. That's right. So let me ask you a question. What did your kids see this year in you that was an impossibility and God came through and they were like, wow. Wow, you don't got to tell me about the Lord. I saw the Lord in your life. I saw what you put yourself out there to do in order that God could be seen. Look at this. Note verse 10. He said, by this, you're going to know. It starts with you. I want you to know that I'm among you, because if I'm among you, I do the impossible. Look over in chapter 4. We'll go into this a little bit next week, but I want you to see this. In chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. Very important as we start off a new year. Verse 21 says, then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what are these stones? Because we'll study next week. They took stones and they put it in the middle of the river where the ark was. Then they took stones and they put them in the place where they camped. They built a monument of what God had done. And he says, when your kids see this and they ask you, what does this mean? Let me find my place. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So God says, I want you to know me and see me. I want your children to know and see me by what they see me do through in and through your life, and then I want all the people of the world to see me because of what I'm doing in and through you. God has a purpose for bringing us into the trials. You understand that? He's going to be glorified. Yeah. Man, bro, this brother right here is going through a trial. Right. And here's where I'm at. What God's brought him to, God's going to bring him through. Right. And he's going to be glorified in that. And God strengthens us and prepares us. I'm just going to chase this rabbit, you know. Do you mind if I say? Chad's got kidney cancer, right? At this point, he's got one kidney that's got a large mass on it. And we should all be praying and begging God. But this is what I say. I've walked with this brother, and I've watched God grow this couple and take them from like this level to this level. going from you know, dabbling and being a spectator to both of them serve their guts out for the Lord. And God brought them through that, and they've seen the Lord move in their lives so many times. You know why? And they're going to see God move in and through this. It's not a place of fear. It's a place of courage to go, the Lord's with him. The Lord's with him, and God's going to be seen in and through this no matter what.
Right.
You understand that? You say, that, well, that's a difficulty, and that's a trial, and it's one that God's prepared him for. Because here's the thing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the glory, or this glory, this power, the Spirit of the Lord, he has put in earthen vessels. Say, God doesn't look for our strengths. God maximizes our weaknesses. God's not saying, hey, when you get stronger, stronger than you can. God's like, I'm not wanting you to depend upon your strength. I'm wanting you to depend upon what I've accomplished for you at the cross. You're not going to part the rivers. I'm going to part the rivers so that when you face things like this, you look back to the cross in your life and go, he raised me from the dead there. What can he not do from here forward? We need to be reminded. That's why we put this, we go back to that, and everybody here needs to have a stack of stones where at one point in time you were raised from dead to life, that you trusted in Jesus and he did everything. And he's like, come back to this place. When you face a trial, when you face a test, when you face the battles to come, you come back to this place and you look at the rock upon which you were built. Ain't that, that's good, boy. But I want you to see that if we try only what we can accomplish and control, the Lord's never going to be seen. So I'm going to suggest a couple of things. These are like baby steps. So what can I do? No, be a bodybuilder. Be a bodybuilder. And everybody here's gasping for air. I'm not talking about physical. The Bible said the church is a body. Say, what does it take? Here's some simple things that you could try to where people see the Lord. Welcome people to our church. Quit being a spectator and let's wear the carpet out before we wear the seats out. Welcome people, express love, show kindness, pray for people. You know, it shouldn't be a weird thing that when you come to church that people want to pray for you. That's kind of what God's people do. When you're a stranger and you walk up in a church and you're like, hey, I got something I really need prayer about. Don't be surprised when people here go, then let's go back here and let's pray in this room or right here. Let's pray right here. When you see people praying, it's not a lie. Well, that's a charismatic thing, and they're getting out of control. No, that's their believing the Bible, and they're calling upon the one we're here to worship. It's weird not to pray. Pray for people. Get involved in serving others. Share Jesus with people. What about outreach? We got a men's ministry, ladies' ministry, kids' ministry. You know, Brother Mark Cooper started him. The Lord just burdened him. He followed Jesus into it, feeding some hungry people. He's already seen the Lord. The people involved that seen the Lord. There's a lot of things that you can do. Doesn't mean you have to go, you know, into another country. Our country needs Jesus. People in this room today need Jesus. They need the love of Jesus. They need to see the Lord. They need to hear the Lord's voice. And if you make yourself that vessel, like in an earthen vessel, like so that people see the glory of God. It's not about people seeing me or you. It's about going, that fool's a moron. And so if anybody gets anything out of him, it's got to be Jesus. It's okay to see yourself as a moron. You know, discipling, mentoring people, life and life change. Let me say this. I just want to share this with you. I know he's listening because he listens every week. There's a brother a lot of y'all know named Dennis. Dennis came to our church years and years ago. He's not here because he's got really bad health issues. But Dennis came to our church years ago. But you know why? Because one of the brothers in our church seen the condition he was living in, showed him the love of Jesus, connected to him, invited him to church. Dennis was living in his truck. He had a massive stroke that inhibited a lot of stuff in his health. He can't be here because the lights cause him to have huge headaches. He lives with those kind of headaches. He was living in a truck, couldn't work. Dennis came and talked to me. I was like, I'll offer him a job. I'm like, man, you ought to feel sorry for him. I did. I offered him a job. He went to work with me. We shared Jesus. We laughed. We made him feel like he wasn't a handicap. All of a sudden, the church comes in with this. The church's like, we're going to help him. The church bought him an RV, put him up, got him a place to live. Jesus, Dennis gave his life to Jesus radically. That if you ever get a chance to talk to him, he prays for me. He prays for y'all every day. He's like, what are the prayer requests you got? That brother's a praying warrior for the Lord. Like, he don't come to church. He don't need to. You know, so he's praying for the church. He's an encourager of the church. And I just go, people who got involved in that, that's what I'm talking about. That's steps of faith. That's steps of obedience. That's showing mercy. You ought to get involved in something and do something besides being a spectator. You know, I want you to see this. Let me skip through that real quick. You know, a lot of times we focus on what's going on or what has gone on, and we let the past direct us, and we let other people who are, you know, camped out there on this side of Jordan influence our lives. You know, it come to a place where he said, when you see basically the Lord's presence moving, follow him. Follow him. There's a man who's headed towards something I ain't really want to go towards. Do you love the Lord enough to trust him and follow him into the places that he wants to carry you? You got to get up and leave camp. Some of you are camped out around unforgiveness. Some of you got a camp of bitterness and anger, and you're still focused on what happened to you when you was a kid 40 years ago, what you didn't get. Some of you are focused on what happened to you in your previous marriage. Or maybe you don't like what's this or that, and you're camped around the temporary. Your hopes are in the world. Sooner or later, we're going to find life over here. You don't have to. You understand what I'm saying? And God's like, you can't stay there. You got to get up and set out a camp. That's what it says. Let me find it. Anyhow, I didn't write it down, but it says, so it was when the people, there it is, verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp. How long are you going to camp around somebody else's faith? How long are you going to camp out around coming to church and talking about what you see God doing in other people's lives? You know, the thing is, we got to let go of security and embrace surrender. You got to let go of the temporary to receive the eternal. There's not a just in case. It's like, here's the people. If you were sitting there that day, I'm sure, if I know folk, and I do, I'm sure there were some when the crowd got up, started walking and said, hey, they're moving, the priests are moving, the Ark of the Covenant is going. I see the Lord. The Lord's leading us in that direction. That's where the people started filing out and taking their families. But there were probably some that just sat there. Well, you know, y'all crazy. We ain't going to get into all that. Well, I'm going to stay here, save it. You know what? There's giants over there. And there's challenges over. Don't you realize that Jericho, we can see Jericho. It's right across the river. Jericho's a fortified city. If we go over there, we're going to have to fight. We're going to face difficulties. You don't know what's going to happen. Some of you parents, you want to camp and your kids are trying to go and you just want to like, oh, no, don't do that. Here's the life we have for you. Security. Safety. Knowing the future before you get there. That's what you need. We want to make sure we build this life where everything's under control, safe, secure, confident, camped. And God's like, I'm calling your kids out. I'm calling them into unsafe. I'm calling them into unknown. I'm calling them to where they don't know anything about what's going on, but this is what they know, that Jesus is leading. That's all you need to know. You understand that? You know, I sent my wife a text. I was sitting in the woods yesterday morning, and I studied this. Like 10 million messages, honestly, you preach out of this. And I couldn't settle what God had for me to share with you. And I finally came back to a place, and I just asked the Lord, Lord, what do you got for me? And I texted my wife, and I can't tell you what I texted her exactly, but I was like, you know what? Last year was a year of crap. That's all it was. It was a year where we had more trouble than we knew what to deal with, and nothing went right, and all these other things. And you know what? I ain't camping around that no more. I'm setting out, and I'm leaving away from that. I don't care about last year. The Bible said, Isaiah 43, I think that he sent it to me this week. Somebody did. He said, don't remember, don't recall the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. It's going to spring forth. I'm like, God's wanting to do a new thing, and I ain't camping around here talking about how awful last year was. There's a new day in front of us, and there's a new hope. And God's like, I'm going this way. You coming or going? I told her, this is what I know. He's worthy. He's the only hope that this world has, and people need to hear that. And we're fixing to cross over this junk, and we're moving forward in life. God wants to move you forward in life. You know, I just got to finish this up. This is the part that was so hard for me to go around, because the whole text, and you know, when I come here on Sunday morning, I don't always just want to preach a salvation message. I want to challenge you and encourage you, if you're a born-again believer, to pursue the Lord. And so sometimes I got to just tell you this. This whole, everything about this newness of life revolves around the power of the cross in your life. You know, if you look, and I'm going to give you this in 5 minutes, so stay with me. This is a whole different thought process, but I just got to give it to you. The Jordan River came down from the Sea of Galilee. You know, it runs down through the valley, and it goes into the Dead Sea. The word Jordan means to descend down. It's often called the River of Death. And you look, think about this. Just let God speak to you in this. The Lord said, I want y'all to stay back. This is not something that involves y'all. Because I'm sending my son before you to go down into death and make a way to reach all the way back to Adam and to cut off the power of death from here forward. And I'm going to make one way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When you see that and you see the Jordan part, you cross over and you get across it quickly. Because I'm going to make you pass from death unto life. Remember what John 5:24 says? He that believes on him that sent me, it's passing from death unto life. That's what this picture is. It's passing from trusting in myself to trusting in Jesus. And I just thought about that as I was reading this. You know, I'm always kind of thinking about what it would have been like to have been there. Can you imagine what it was like to be following the crowd, to see that water heaped up? I also want to bring up, the enemy saw the water heaped up. And they were fearful. The Bible says that Jesus made an open spectacle of principalities and powers. The enemy watched what took place there. And fear overwhelmed the enemy. God went before his people. Think about this. You're walking in that crowd like, I'm going to follow Jesus. And you walk down into that dry, it wasn't muddy, it wasn't slushy, it was dry, built upon the rock of Jesus Christ's ground where they walked across. Can you imagine walking by that ark and going, man, look what this thing has done. So I ask you this morning, is that what the cross has done in your life? When you walk by the cross in your life, are you amazed to go, God, I look back on my life to see the power of the cross in it. I'm amazed, God, at where I was and what you brought me to and where you're carrying me to. Well, it's amazing. How can you not want to continue on and to see if God has great things for his glory in your own life? How can you not share? How can you not embrace the battles? How can you not desire to go, if the cross has done this, if Christ has done this for me, what else does he have? Or are you confident to go, I see it from a distance. Man, I see people getting stupid down there. There's people singing in the river, people dancing, people shouting, people on the other side celebrating. That's them fanatics. We over here in Safeville. You know, we'll probably go down there and look at, we looked at the river. And I understand, when the river closed, an opportunity closed. There are some opportunities in life you only get one, two, I don't know how many times, but I'll say this. If you're here this morning, the greatest thing that you need that is a new you. When you come to the place where you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be the one and only way to be forgiven from sin and given eternal life, Jesus said, I am it. He is it. It's not a process. It's not a program. It's not a religion. It's a person. Salvation is a person. He's like, I made a way, the one and only way. There's no other way here. If you want to go across, you come through me. If you've never repented and trusted in Jesus to receive what he has lovingly, mercifully provided for you, Jesus said, when you trust in him, that you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, washed away. All things become new. If you've never trusted in Jesus, don't wait till that opportunity closes. Put your faith and trust in him this morning. You don't have to come down here. Listen to me, a lot of things we do in church, I don't know why, but you don't have to come down front and talk to me. You need to talk to the Lord right where you're at. You understand? Talk to Jesus. Tell him what's on your mind, on your heart. If God's Spirit's dealing with you about something this morning, whether it's salvation or whether it's leading your family or whether it's stepping into a new area that you've been worried about, facing your impossibilities and your fears, talk to the Lord this morning about it. Start off new today. Walk with a new attitude, a new vision, a new hope, a new purpose, a new life. In Jesus' name, y'all stand. Father, I love you and I thank you so much for loving us enough that you made a way where there was absolutely no way. Lord, a people who are hopeless, people who are just choked to death in our sin and our darkness, people who didn't even care. We loved it. But Lord, I thank you that you cared. Thank you that you pursue us. I thank you that you was willing to go down into death for us. Lord, that you dealt with our greatest challenge, our greatest impossibility. Lord, your word says, with you, all things are possible. God, it's possible no matter how deep in sin a person is this morning that they can walk out of here holy, blameless, and perfect because of what you've accomplished for them. Lord, I pray nobody would walk out of here dead today. Father, I pray over your people. Lord, I am absolutely convinced, God, that you want to make yourself known in this community through this body of people. And I just pray we'd be a people who are surrendered. Not to trust in ourselves or our abilities or our knowledge. But God, we'd spend some time looking at the power of the cross in our lives. The transformation that it can make not only in us but in our marriage, in our children, in our grandchildren. God, I pray we'd put last year behind us. Whether it was good things or bad, Lord, we lay them at your feet. And Lord, we would begin to follow you this year. We would seek you. Raise up men. Raise up moms and dads in this church who have a heart to seek you. Because our kids and our grandkids are watching. And I pray, God, as we get to the end of this year, our kids will be moved towards the cross because they saw the power of it in our lives. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.